Hey y'all, it's Crystal.
And it's Samantha, and this is Serialholic Sisters.
True crime shit.
And we sound like
We
shit.
really do. I said, hey, it's Crystal. And then I was like, oh, I was like,
Is
is that
that my
my
voice?
voice?
That's how I felt too. I actually had no voice this morning when I woke up, so that's fun.
I'm so glad it came back, though.
I'm sure my husband isn't. No, we've had the flu going around in our house, and I think that I'm just getting, hopefully it's just like a head cold that I'm getting now, but that's what it feels like anyways.
Yeah.
But it is attacking my voice.
Yeah. The flu has been going around everywhere like crazy. Everywhere. And it
Oh
is
man.
no joke this year.
No, so my oldest had, well, he's the one that got it first in our house, and it put him out. He plays basketball, and it put him out. And I had messaged the coach to let her know, hey, I had to pull him out of school. He's not feeling good. He won't be at the game or practice. And she was like, oh no, not another one. And I was like, another one. So like several kids were out because of the flu. So I felt so bad, but I mean, it's nuts. I know that it's every year everybody usually gets sick and stuff. And but the last couple of years, everybody is just like freaked out over COVID. And
Right.
now, this year, I haven't really heard much of COVID this season at all, but I hear flu every
Right.
single day.
Yeah, so I work at that pediatrician's office and we've hardly seen any COVID at all, but there's so much. Like everybody coming in has the flu.
Flu and RSV is really bad right now.
RSV's kind of died down a little bit here. It was bad maybe 2 months ago. Everyone had it.
I guess it's coming to us now
Oh, you're welcome. We sent it your way.
because RSV is definitely a thing in town right now. So
Is running wild. Running wild.
because we've been sick and because it's of the Thanksgiving holiday and stuff, we don't really have, well, I don't really have anything fun to talk about.
Because of the Thanksgiving. I know it was so fun. We got to see each other face to face.
was.
It was amazing. And then after that, I feel like I haven't talked to you ever since then.
No, because we were all sick.
I
In fact, I actually was really sick when I first got
know. I
there
know
at
you were.
Thanksgiving.
And then I blinked, and now tomorrow is Christmas, by the way. I'm freaking out. I have nothing done. Like last year, I did so good. I had all my Christmas stuff done by Thanksgiving. This
Oh,
year,
yeah,
I have like
no,
two
I'm
presents, and neither one of them are for my kids.
okay. So I'm glad that I'm on the same page as you because usually I have Christmas and stuff done, like, or at least like shopped for most of it in November, September and November and stuff. I tried to hit up Black Friday sales when
And Cyber
for
Monday, yeah.
Christmas. Yeah, and I didn't do anything for Black
I
Friday. I didn't
didn't
either.
either.
No, I haven't even finished Christmas shopping and it's the 10th.
I know. Christmas is tomorrow. And you know what's worse?
It's not tomorrow, but
It's tomorrow. And what's worse is my daughter's birthday is 3 days before Christmas. So that's 2 days ago.
my son's birthday is like a week and a half after Christmas, so I get
Yeah.
it.
I'm panicking a little bit. And my husband's like, oh, it's fine. Calm down. We have time. I'm like, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I get ya. So
So, all right. Well,
let's go ahead and get into it. It is your week.
okay. So it's my turn this week. And with the holiday season upon us, like we've been talking about, I thought we should discuss what the holidays are truly about. No, I'm not talking about moida or presents.
Moida?
I'm talking about family. We're going to talk about family. But this family that I'm going to be talking about isn't like your typical type of family.
It's a Moida
It's a moida family.
family.
So this week, you're going to know this. We're going to talk about a family from your neck of the woods. One of the first documented cases of a serial killing family.
Are you talking about Cherryville?
And the Bloody Benders. Yes, I
Yes,
am.
yeah. Okay. Look at you.
Look at
God damn it.
me.
You know, part of me wanted to do this case like a long time ago. In fact, Dallas asked me, have you done the Bloody Benders yet? I was like, well, no, but we'll get to it. It's not a super long case, because there's not a ton that was documented on it.
Right, because it's so long ago.
Yes. And I was like, but I'll do it sometime here soon. And damn it, did you do it?
Damn it, did I?
It's all right. You know, there's actually like they've opened up like a restaurant and stuff over there now.
A restaurant? No, I did not know that. I knew that there was a museum in Cherryvale.
I think it was a restaurant that they opened up, like not inspired, obviously, but
I know, because I was like, oh God, that's a little much, guys.
no, maybe it wasn't a restaurant. It was something else. I don't know. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so we're gonna jump into our way back in time machine, back to the 1870s. And the story of the Benders began right after the end of the American Civil War. The Osage, that was fancy in French and not how you pronounce it. The Osage Native Americans were moved from LeBec County in southeast Kansas to the new Indian Territory, an area that would later become known as Oklahoma. So the newly vacated land in southeast Kansas would now be available to homesteaders. In 1870, five families of spiritualists like settled in the western LeBec County, about 7 miles northeast of where Cherryvale would later be. So one of these families was the Benders. So this family consisted of John Bender Sr., his wife, that some sources called her Elmira and others called her Elvira, but they were also known as Ma and Pa Bender, so I'm just gonna call her Ma from now on.
Yeah.
And then there was John Jr., the son, and daughter Kate.
Yes. So I just looked it up because I had to. It was bothering me.
Yeah.
It's actually not in Cherry. I mean, this happened in Cherryvale, but it's not in Cherryvale. They did open up a restaurant called Bender's Kitchen in
Oh,
Parsons.
Bender's Kitchen.
Yes.
So when you know what the Benders did, that's real n not okay.
Yes, I do. And it is not okay.
That's a little okay. But okay, but you do you, people in Parsons.
Man.
Right. So to this day, it's disputed whether or not John Jr. and Kate are actually related to Ma and Pa. There's no documentation or proof, like definitive proof, of their relationships or where they were born. And then some of the Benders' neighbors apparently claimed that John Jr. and Kate were actually husband and wife, not brother and sister. So there's a lot of debate on whether they were a couple or siblings, which that's very different things. So John Sr. had immigrated from either Germany, Norway, or the Netherlands and was around 60 when they arrived in the area. He was known as a wild and woolly looking man, standing over 6 feet tall with big bushy eyebrows, a big ass beard, and long hair.
Wild, woolly
A
looking
woolly
man.
looking man. It's like, is that my husband?
I was kind of thinking the same thing in my mind. I
I mean, he doesn't have the long hair, but got everything else.
mean, he doesn't have the bushy eyebrows, but
Oh my God, bushy eyebrows. So we've been making fun of my husband in the morning because he doesn't have like bushy eyebrows, but he's got like some hairy eyebrows. Okay. And in the morning, he wakes up and they're like all disheveled. And the kids noticed the other morning when we were going to school. And what did they say? He has a, they called it, oh shit, damn. Oh man, it's gonna bug me. I'll think of it later, but damn, it was like, it wasn't like ominous eyebrows. It was like, I don't know. It was a descriptive word and it was hilarious. And I was like, oh my God, he does. And apparently he's very sensitive about it when we tell him that.
Funny.
Oh damn, that's really gonna bug me now. Okay, anyways. So writings from people who supposedly knew the Benders described him as a hideous brute. Repulsive, dirty, profane, and ill-tempered, which like rude, don't talk about people like that. And then Ma Bender was around 55 at the time they came to the area. She was described as a heavy-set, unfriendly woman with an accent so thick that most people couldn't understand her. She was also a self-proclaimed medium, stating that she could communicate with the dead, and she would like boil herbs and roots for like spells and charms. So the people in the area began to call her She Devil. And it's said that she ruled her household with such an iron fist that her husband and son were afraid of her. According to newspaper articles, Ma was previously married to a man named Simon Mark and had 12 children with him. So that's, you know, that's casual. She later married a man named William Stephen Griffith. And regarding what happened to her previous husbands and children, it was rumored that she murdered them, but none of these rumors were ever like proven to be true. It's just like what everybody said.
Like, where are the kids?
Thank you. Thank you. But
How
like, where are
do
they
you misplace 12 children?
That's right. Yeah. Now, while Ma and Pa were known to pretty much keep to themselves, the younger Benders were social and like known around town. They would attend like Sunday church regularly with the townspeople, all that jazz. So John Bender Jr., that was rough. John Bender Jr. was a tall, slender man, and I almost read that as Slenderman, by
Oh, I
the
know. I do that every time I ever put slender next to a man.
next to a man.
You know what
So he was a
I
tall, slender man around 25 years old.
mean.
He had a German accent but spoke fluent English and was said to have been very social, but was also said to like pr he was like prone to laugh aimlessly at like nothing, leading many to believe that he was like mentally ill. They're like, that dude is
Yeah.
not okay. He's just like laughing.
Cannot ride in the head.
Yes. And then last there was Kate. So Kate was the member of the family that really stuck out to people. She was said to be like this beautiful woman with red hair, about 23-ish years old. She spoke English well with just a slight accent. She was known as the friendliest and most social of the Bender bunch, the type of person that like never met a stranger. Now she was a she was a self-proclaimed psychic and a healer. So before long, she found out that she was able to make money with her like skills by using her supernatural powers and abilities to like cure illnesses, like to heal people. So she started her own like spiritualistic traveling show, and she would charge people a pretty hefty fine to like heal them. She would travel from town to town in Kansas, like healing people, conducting seances, and giving lectures on spiritualism to like whoever would listen. She often advocated free love and justification for murder in her lectures. And she also claimed to possess psychic powers and, like her mother, claimed that she could communicate with the dead. So she would also charge people to like communicate with their loved ones for them that had passed away.
Right.
Now, with her combination of beauty and social skills, she gained popularity among the locals pretty quickly. But before long, her actions began to cause them to say that she was satanic. So, Pa Bender chose a 160-acre lot of land on the western slope of the mounds.
Yeah, he chose it all right.
And he did, yes. They were all like staking their claims. There was all these acres that they had just come across, and by just come across, I mean stole from the Indians.
I was going to say they did not come across them. They stole them. The thieves.
So, to this day, that land that he chose is still called Bender Mounds.
Yes, it is.
You're like, I am aware.
I
It's
am aware.
right over there.
I mean, it's not that close. So it's
No.
close, but it's not that close. It's like a 40-minute drive from
Right,
where
right,
I'm
right.
at.
So, John Jr. chose a small piece of land just north of his father's land, but he never like lived on his own claim or like made any type of improvements to the land, which is what they kind of wanted you to do if you got this land. Like, you had to make improvements to it. So you had to like farm or do something. They weren't just like giving you land just to have it.
Right.
So he didn't ever do anything with it. He just lived on his father's land. Well, there the Benders dug a well and they built a small one-room cabin along with a barn and a corral. Now, inside the cabin, they used a large canvas. That turned into Sean Connery for a second.
I'm Sean Connery.
They used a large canvas to partition the room because they had just built it was just like a big one room thing. So they
Right.
partitioned the room off into little areas. So they made a small, like, living quarter area in the back that would serve as their home. This area consisted of a bed, a stove, a table, and three chairs. So I guess one of the family members had to like stand up for dinner. I don't know. They turned the front portion of the cabin into a small inn and general store. And by small inn, I mean like small inn. Like I said, it was just a one room cabin partitioned into small sections. The entire cabin was 16 by 24 feet, so not big. So a traveler passing through would stop by there for like a quick rest and a meal, maybe the night once, and then go on about their way. Like it was a little bitty area. So the vendors made their living mostly by selling things from the general store, like groceries, liquor, tobacco, gunpowder,
And stealing and stealing.
and stealing. They would do that. They would also, take in travelers, providing them with a meal and a place to rest before continuing their journey on the Osage Trail. But then some of these travelers like started going missing, like never to be seen again. At first, nobody really noticed or like put together that all these travelers that were going missing had stopped and visited the Bender Inn. It was very common for travelers to perish traveling on this trail. I mean, think Oregon Trail. People like dying of dysentery. There were bandits running amok and like robbing and murdering people. Like these are tough times. Tough times. Also, speaking of Oregon Trail, I played it not long ago. Actually, it's probably been a year, but I found it online and I played it and it popped up on the screen. It was like Crystal is exhausted. And I was like, oh my God, that's the most true thing I've ever read.
So, did you know they like, I want to say I read somewhere that they like remade the game.
I think, yeah, that's what I was playing.
The
But it was like
remake
this,
game?
but it was like the same thing. It was like the exact same as the old one, but
Oh,
you
okay.
can play it now. Yeah. It's pretty cool. One of my kids died of a snake bite.
That
And then I was exhausted.
happens.
I was like, that is so true. So these are tough times, but after a while, people started to talk about, these missing people. They started noticing odd things about the Bender's property. Like the fact that the Bender's orchard garden area always seemed to be like freshly plowed, but there was never anything planted in it, which is a little suspicious,
It is pretty suspicious.
a little sketch. So then people started talking a little bit more in 1871 after the body of a man with his throat slashed and his skull crushed in was found near the Bender property. Because, that also is a little sketch.
It's pretty
That's
sketch.
pretty sketch. In February of 1872, two more male victims were found dead with the same injuries. Well, then a number of locals began to go missing with like no leads as to why. And by late 872 by late 1872, there were so many reports of travelers and locals going missing in the area that people began avoiding that area like altogether. So travelers would take different routes, like way out of their way, just to avoid passing through this area, because there were so many rumors and so many people going missing. So what exactly was happening to these travelers and locals?
I know.
Girl, I know.
I know what was happening. It was not pleasant.
It was not pleasant. We're just gonna say the Bloody Benders got their nickname for a reason.
Yes, they did.
Menacing. He has menacing eyebrows in the morning. That's the word I was trying to think of. I never
That
notice his eyebrows any other time because they're just normal eyebrows. But in the morning,
was just so random.
they're all disheveled. And we're like leaving from backing out of the garage to go to school and work. And he's like waving by, and his eyebrows are all disheveled. And the kids are like, why does he have menacing eyebrows right now? What is he up to?
I bet you were rolling.
I was rolling and he was looking very confused because we're backing out just like dying laughing. He's like, what is
Why
happening?
does he have menacing eyebrows?
I don't know. I don't know. They're menacing in the morning. Okay, that was bugging me. I'm glad it came to me. Okay, so back to this family and their killing spree. So their killing spree began to unravel in 1873 after George Longcore and his 18-month-old daughter, Mary Ann, went missing. So they had set off for Iowa from Independence, Kansas, and they never made it to Iowa. After this, a prominent name went missing, like a big, well-known name. In March of 1873, a well-known and well-respected physician named Dr. William Henry York went missing after getting off a train in the area, and he was last seen near the Bender Cabin. Now, the only reason that this well-known doctor was in the area was because he was the neighbor of George Longcore and his daughter, and he had heard that they had gone missing and decided he was going to like travel the Osage Trail and
To
investigate
go
their
and find
disappearance.
them. Yep.
He was like, I'm finding these people what is up with this weird ass place where all these people go missing?
It's so funny because Independence to Cherryville is not far at all. So for them to have like stopped in Cherryville too was
I mean, it's far
they were
on a horse and wagon is how they're not driving.
but it's really not if you think about it. I mean, it wouldn't take a whole day.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long traveling took back then, but I wouldn't think so because I mean, Independence to Cherryville is what, like 25 minutes
Not
driving?
probably not even.
Yeah. Well,
Maybe 15.
he had an 18-month-old daughter though, so like
He did. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like it's not a really long travel. So he didn't get far. Let's just put it that way.
maybe he just stopped to get like supplies. He's like, oh, I need to get
Yeah.
some supplies and I'll stop, down the
Probably.
road.
Like just
It's
giving perspective of how far it is.
right. Yeah. No, it's
Not
not that
far.
far. So instead of finding the missing father-daughter duo, Dr. York was now missing as well. Now, the main problem with Dr. York going missing for the Benders was that not only was he prominent himself, but he also had two pretty well-known and respected brothers. So Colonel Edward York and Kansas Senator Alexander York. So basically, the Benders done fucked around with the wrong family.
Yeah, they done fucked around and they about to find out.
When Dr. York went missing, Colonel York immediately led an investigation into his brother's disappearance. This investigation led Colonel York right to the Benders' door. When questioned about this, they were like, oh, we don't know anything about this. Kind of, that's not exactly right. So I have a quote from the Weekly Kansas Chief, which was a newspaper at that time that ran from 1872 to 1918. So the chief said, when questioned, quote, the old hag sat mum and gloomy, pretending she could not understand or speak English. Old Bender said nothing. Kate, she of the evil eye, denied all knowledge of the lost, and the younger male villain fooled them with a well-made-up story, end quote. So also, why don't newspapers write like that anymore? Why aren't they like, this old
I
hag?
don't know, but it would be very entertaining.
Right? I was like, oh, can you write that
I'd like to know who they think is an old hag now.
in the newspaper? Right? So she pretended she couldn't speak, like, understand them or speak English. Kate and Pa were like, oh, I don't know anything. And then John made up this story. He told them that at the time that Dr. York went missing, he himself had been shot at near Drum Creek. And whoever shot at him must have been the same person or people that like killed the doctor. Even though we're not sure he's dead, he's just missing right now. So, yeah, all of this was concerning. The town decided they needed to like have a town meeting at the Harmony Grove Schoolhouse, like Stars Hollow style. And Pa and John Bender actually attended this meeting, which is super creepy and very Golden State Killer of them, even though they did this way before he did it,
A very Golden State Killer.
to attend the town meeting about you killing people.
It's true.
That's true. Now, at this meeting, the townspeople decided they were going to band together and search every home in the entire area to find these missing travelers. Like any kind of evidence, they need to find these people. This was out of hand. But they had to put the search off due to the weather. I don't know why you can't look in houses due to weather, but okay. Yeah, I mean, they're in Kansas. Maybe it was tornado weather. I don't know.
Come on now. Honestly, everyone always makes jokes about that, but Oklahoma
Yeah,
is more
that's true.
tornado
That's true.
weather than Kansas is.
It's just because Wizard of Oz. That's immediately what you
I know,
think.
but it's really not that bad.
Yeah,
I know one person that'll disagree with me.
yeah.
The
Yes.
one time she visited traumatized her for the rest of her life.
There wasn't even a tornado. It's just raining.
No. It was just warning signals that went off. It was just funny. Anyways.
So after 3 weeks of bad weather, the search party finally made their way to the Benders' property to start their search.
3 weeks after they already warned them in the town meeting.
Right. They were like,
Just
we're
so
going to
you
search
know.
the houses. Yeah, exactly. So when they arrived, they noticed that all of the animals on the property were like starving, like they had clearly been neglected for a while. And then they noticed that the Benders' wagon was missing. It seemed that nobody had been on the farm for about 3 weeks or so.
Oh,
So basically, right after the town meeting, the benders like packed up and peaced out. Like they were like, no, we got to
well, yeah.
dip. Or else they were going to be caught because murder, you know, they were doing it.
You
So
are 100%.
as soon as the search party walked into this cabin, they were basically knocked on their asses by the smell
By
of
the smell.
decomposition. So once inside, everything looks pretty normal, you know, except for all the food and clothing and everything was missing, like they had cleared out. And it wasn't long before they were able to figure out where exactly the smell was coming from. So there was a trap door in the floor directly under one of the chairs at the table. But for why? You know, why you got this? So they opened the trap door and they found like a cellar underneath. They're like, okay, why is the smell coming from the cellar? Like it's awful. The cellar was covered in a thick layer of congealed blood. Like just gross. Okay. So they're like, okay, that's not okay. Let's get a group of volunteers. We're gonna all band together. We're gonna lift this cabin up.
Let's get a group of volunteers. I'm
Yes.
not doing
Right.
it
I'm not going to do it, but let's get somebody else to volunteer to do
yet.
it because gross. So we're going to lift this cabin up off of its foundation and just start like digging all around the cellar. We're going to dig. And so they did that. They got their volunteers, they lift the cabin, they start digging all in the gross ass cellar, and they found nothing. So they were like, "Okay, this congealed blood came from somewhere. Like we got to keep searching. So let's start searching the land around this area." Okay, you know, this 160 acres of land that they have here, let's start searching it. And someone was like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should like check this orchard over here that seems to be freshly plowed, but like nothing's planted in it. It's just kind of uneven. And they're like, okay, yeah, good idea. Give that guy a medal, you know, he's smart. So
Give that guy a medal.
that's what you do back then for smart people, right? You give them a medal. I don't know. So they began to dig and it was not long before they uncovered the body of Dr. York. He was face down in a pretty shallow grave. The back of his head had been smashed and his throat had been slit, kind of just like those other bodies that had been found before, you know, in that area. So that night, they found seven more bodies buried in the orchard, all with similar injuries. At least 12 bodies were officially found in the Bender's orchards. But it said that there could have been as many as 21 victims there, based on the list of missing people in the area at the time and the complete lack of like forensic anything. The bodies were found in various stages of decomposition, and they were mainly identified from clothing found on the victims' bodies. The orchard and garden area where the bodies were found became known as Hell's Half Acre, and to this day, it's still known as that. George Longcore and his 18-month-old daughter, Marianne, were both found buried in the orchard in one grave together. George had the same injuries as the other men and was stripped of nearly all of his clothing before he was buried. And his infant daughter, this is awful, was found laid, like buried at his feet. And she had no markings on her. She was fully clothed, and it's believed that she was buried alive with her father.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there was like no evidence of what could have either. So either she was buried alive or she was smothered before she was buried. So yeah, that's fucking rough. Many of these bodies were buried like 7 feet deep, which is like pretty fucking deep. It's like a whole ass basketball player deep in the ground. And it's believed that taking this into account, along with the fact that it was the 1800s and the people uncovering the bodies were literally just like volunteers that rode up on their horses to
Right.
help out, there 100% has to be more bodies buried in Hell's Half Acre,
Oh,
like to
yeah.
this day. Like, there's no way they uncovered every single body that the benders buried there. Now, several of the victims were known to have been traveling with money or had jewelry. None of their money was found on their bodies, so they were clearly robbed and murdered, or murdered and robbed, whatever.
Murdered then robbed.
Yeah. So, what happened to these people? What happened in the cabin? What did the benders do to them? So, when a traveler or local would stop by at the inn, the guests were like urged to have a seat at the table for a meal. And it was like said to have been like a big urging. They were just like insistent on it by
Yes.
like people that have left, like went to the inn and ate and left, didn't get murdered or left because it was super sketch and they were uncomfortable. So they were like real pushy about it, like sit right here in this exact chair. So they would be seated in the seat of honor in the chair that was over the trap door with their backs to the white canvas that was used to partition between the inn and the living quarters of the Benders. And the Benders had used the white canvas for a reason. So this reason was to make it super easy for someone on one side of the canvas to make out the shadow of someone on the other side. So once seated at the table, while the victim was either eating or being distracted by Kate, one of the male Benders would come up behind them, like behind the canvas, make out their figure, and then use either a hammer, an axe handle, or a sledgehammer to bash them in the skull. Then the trap door was opened and they would go plummeting down into the cellar. Once in the cellar, either Kate, Ma, or both of the Bender women would be waiting for them, where they would proceed to slit the throat of the victim and rob them of all their belongings. It's all very Sweeney Todd of them, you know.
Yes. So I was waiting until you were done like describing how they did it, because
yes.
That's exactly what I wanted to say was, I swear they when Sweeney Todd was written, it had to have been written by
it had to be based on this somewhat, right?
It had to have been, because I mean, it's literally legitimately the only difference is he was a barber.
I was gonna say, except for that he was a barber. Yeah. and they were, you know, using the meat of the victims for meat pies, but whatever.
Well, that too, but yes.
It's but loosely yeah. based on it, right?
It's gotta be, because the way that it is, it was literally a trap door.
Yeah.
And they would hit the back of their head and immediately, boom, go down. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and then boom, slit throat.
Which I never understood why they made the women slit their throats, because you know that they were dead by impact.
But yeah, or at least knocked out real bad.
Yeah, so anyways, continue.
Yeah, knocked out real bad, by the way, as opposed to being knocked out, you know, not real bad. I don't know. So there they would leave them in the cellar until it got dark, or until they got around to taking the body out to the orchard to bury it. Upon further investigation of the cabin, it was found that some of the victims would try to fight back against them, because there were like stray bullet holes all throughout the walls of the home and the roof. So this led investigators to believe that some of the victims had pulled their weapons and like shot all around trying to stop or like phase them. Now, all of these theories were backed up by several witnesses claiming to have been attacked by the Benders, like I said. One man claimed that while staying at the inn, he was asked to sit down for a meal by Ma Bender. And he was like, oh, thanks, but no thanks. Like, I appreciate it. I'm not super hungry. I just want to rest real quick. And Ma got like super pissed that he wouldn't sit at the specific special chair that she was trying to get him to sit in. And after seeing like how mad she got about it, he's like, yeah, I'm really not sitting there now. like, why do you want me to sit there so bad? And Ma got like abusive towards him, like started like trying to attack him. And then he saw both the male Benders like emerge from the canvas that was behind the chair that she was trying to get him to sit in. And he was like, no, I'm peace. I'm leaving. And like,
we'll see ya.
Right. Another traveler told like almost the exact same story without even hearing the first story. So there was like several accounts of things like this kind of happening.
Which to me, I mean, I know like technology wasn't a thing or anything then, you know, but like, well, not like, you know, today.
No, in the 1870s, technology was not a thing.
You know what I mean? But like for several of them, because there was several that supposedly were attacked and got away.
Yeah.
That they continued to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so that's where I was like they did not stop and hesitate, like, and leave it alone for a year or two, like some serial killers.
Right.
They kept going.
Oh, they kept going.
Doing it.
Yeah, I don't understand that, because I'm like, you know, somebody got away.
Word gets around.
They know. Yeah, they're going to tell people like, hey, these people tried to fucking kill me. Like, what are you doing?
They didn't care.
And this was the time when like people would come at you with like pitchforks and shit.
I know, but they didn't care. They just kept killing.
Right. And it wasn't so much about the robbing. Like, they wanted to kill just to kill.
Yes,
because there was several people that they had killed that
had,
like,
nothing.
Had no money at all. Right. They had nothing.
They didn't. It was literally anybody that would come into their cabin and everything, because everything that I learned because this was something that we actually learned in school too.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's one of the first known serial killers out there.
Yeah.
Especially, it is the first known one in Kansas. It's very, it's, I mean, it's something that, I mean, you just learn.
That's so wild to me that they teach you about it in school, though. Like, I never.
Well, it wasn't necessarily taught, but it was something that we, like, it was mentioned in some classes. And, like, they would bring it up, but it wasn't like taught in the books or anything.
Right. Turn to chapter 27. Today we're going to be talking about the Bloody Benders.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that, but it was, I mean, it floored me because when I moved here, obviously everyone knows that I'm not from, if they listen to our podcast, they know I'm not from Kansas. But when
If you're new, hey, she's not from Kansas.
I'm not from
Welcome.
Kansas.
Welcome.
But when I moved here, I didn't know about it because it wasn't something that I was looking at or whatever. So when I learned about it and stuff, I like really learned about it. We did, I want to say Dallas even did a paper on them. And by Dallas, I mean me, because
I
I
was
did
gonna
all
say,
of Dallas'
did he do a paper?
homework. And by Dallas, I mean me. I did his homework. The reason he passed is because I did his homework. Not that he's not capable of doing it. He was actually really, really smart. He was just lazy.
Yeah.
But he had a paper. It was about the Bloody Benders and like researching it and understanding it and stuff. Like, they killed because, not because they wanted money, not because they wanted jewelry or ri like riches or anything like that. They killed because they literally enjoyed the kill.
Because they just wanted to
So
kill.
they wanted to kill. It was a family thing. They did it together, and it was just something they enjoyed doing. That's why they wouldn't stop when people got away, because there was several travelers that did get away and were like, oh, word's gonna get around. But they didn't hesitate. They didn't care. They were like,
No.
oh, okay, well, word's gonna get around. I guess I better kill this person. Doesn't really matter.
Right. We'll attend all the town meetings, and then once they say they're going to come to our house, then we'll leave.
Basically, that's how it went. Because once that happened, back then, it wasn't like, oh, well, we're gonna put you in jail. No, you got hung.
Yeah,
You got
you
hung
didn't
and
get
you
a
were
slap on the
killed.
wrist and
So
like
they're
20
like, oh,
years.
well, yes. So they're like, oh, well, I guess we better run because they're gonna hang us. So let's get our belongings and go.
So what happened to the Bloody Benders? So after all of this crazy shit was uncovered on their property, and they were nowhere to be found, a manhunt was launched to find the
Obviously,
whereabouts of the Bender family. Yes,
because
obviously.
again, pitchforks.
Okay, pitchforks, torches, we're coming at you. They're like, we need to hang these people. So the sheriff offered a $500 reward to anyone that apprehended him, which was a lot of
Which
money back then.
I was gonna say, $500 in that time was, you were
Yeah,
rich.
yeah. So this manhunt starts not long after the Benders' wagon was found only a few miles from the cabin. But the Benders were not in the cabin. They were actually never found, like ever. So
Literally
there,
ever.
yeah, there's all kinds of theories as to what happened to the Benders. So some people believe that they were found and killed by locals, while others believe that they completely escaped the country and started new lives where they could commit, like, God knows how many other terrible crimes.
Right.
But
Which
nobody, yeah.
I was gonna say, which if you think about it during that time and you want to go research, London during that time had a ton of murders
I was gonna say, people
happening.
be dying
And
left and right back in that day. Like,
yes, so you don't know. Did they escape and flee the country and go to another country and do, the same type of thing? Because murders were happening all over the place.
It's just moita everywhere. But yeah, nobody actually knows what became of them. It's theorized that they ditched their wagon and might have taken a train from Thayer to Chanute, and that Kate and John Jr. then got off at Chanute and traveled south to Red River and then met back up with Ma and Pa in like St. Louis.
Which cracks me up because Thayer to Chanute is 10 minutes.
When I was reading
Literally.
that, I was like, oh, there's a good train there. Okay.
It is legitimately 10 minutes. It is, that's so funny. But anyway.
Meanwhile, detectives thought that they had traced them through like Texas and New Mexico, but it was came up with nothing. Other accounts say that in 1890, two women who were thought to be the Bender women were arrested in Michigan and brought back to Kansas. But then they were released. They were like, "Oh, you aren't the Bender women. Our bad. Sorry. Go back to Michigan."
Hope you can find your way.
Right. But other people believe that these women definitely were the Bender women. Like, there's just so many like theories and supposed
There is.
sightings. It's just crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. So nobody knows. They just Sweeney Todded a shit ton of people, buried them in their orchard, dipped, and who knows what happened to him.
But I will say, after they did dip, there wasn't any more murders like that in the area.
No, they like
So
dipped out of that
they
area.
definitely, that's why there's so many unknown theories that have.
Right. Either they dipped or the townspeople caught them and moited them,
Don't know. I'm kind of hoping that's what happened because they were awful people.
They were like really bad.
But yes.
The Bender cabin was eventually pulled apart by people that just wanted like souvenirs of the cabin. Three hammers from the Bender cabin are actually on display right now in Cherryvale at that Cherryvale
The
Museum.
museum.
That the museum's about 8 miles from the site of where their cabin was.
Yes. I've
Yeah.
never actually been to the museum, but
Really?
it's been there forever. Yeah, me and Dallas talked about it one time, like going and checking out, because it's not like it's a huge museum. It's
Right.
literally, this town is about as small as the same town that I live in, you know.
So I'm picturing like a house.
It's like Gilmore Girls, the museum that they had that Luke
Oh,
bought. Yes, that's what
yeah.
it is. That's how it is.
So yeah, like so basically like a house.
It's like the size of a house, yeah.
Yeah, so like the Gilmore Girls Museum. Gotcha.
Yeah. We've never gone, but we've talked about going
That's so crazy
before.
to me. I feel like next time I'm there, I have to go. We have to go.
Yeah, it's not very big. Anybody that has like a Facebook or whatever, you can go and look it up in Cherryvale, Kansas, and I'm pretty sure they've got some pictures and stuff of it on their page and stuff.
Well, I don't
So,
want to do that because I don't want to ruin the surprise
I
for me
mean,
when I see
it's not a big museum.
it.
So it's not like you're going to be in there for an hour. You may be in there for like 15 minutes.
I can walk real slow. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So they also have a bloodstained knife there that was found by Dr. York's brother in the cabin.
Aww.
And I know. And there is now a historical marker that tells you all about the Bender's crimes that you can read at a rest stop at the junction of US 400 and US 169, just north of Cherryvale.
Or you can read it on
Yes,
Facebook.
on the
There's
interwebs.
literally Bloody Bender's
Oh, you've
historical
pulled it up.
marker page.
So we'll post a picture of that historical marker. You are welcome. And that is the case of the Bloody Benders, the first serial killing family documented. Doesn't that give you like all the put you in the holiday family feels vibe,
I mean,
Moida.
Moida.
So yeah, that is that on that.
Well, I mean, at least the case is done because I definitely was going to do
Yeah.
it.
I wish it was longer, but there wasn't a lot documented
There's
back
not.
then.
There's not a lot. There's a lot of like near me type of cases. There's one that I want to do that was actually mentioned to me over a year ago to do, and I hadn't done it. So I might do that one.
I was like, oh, is this you calling something so I don't do it?
Just stay out of my area, bitch. I'm just kidding.
Okay, that's my bad. That's my bad. When I was doing this research, I was like, she's gonna be so mad
I'm not. It's a good case. It really is. It's interesting. Because it's like the first known serial killer case in Kansas.
Yeah. In the
So
US, I believe,
it's,
is what I read.
yeah, I think so too. It's nuts to think about it being, so pretty close to me, like within the hour, pretty close to
Yeah.
me.
Yeah. Don't triangulate your location.
All right. All right.
All right. So yeah,
Well,
follow us on
follow
all
us
the
on all
stuff.
the stuff. All of it.
The all of it, the Facey Space, the Instagram, the
And you can check it all out on serialholicsisters.com.
Yes, that is the thing. That is our
That is a thing.
website.
That is a thing. Anyways, yeah, I guess we could just be awkward. You want to be
Wait.
awkward? Let's be awkward.
Were we not already doing that? Is
I mean,
that
okay.
not
Okay,
what we're doing? Okay,
bye.
bye. Hang on, my mouse is being stupid. Trying to scroll in a little bit. Okay, now it's scrolled too much. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Let's get focused.
Let's get focused, Samantha.
I'm off my phone. I'm off my phone.
Yeah, put your phone away. Throw it
I
across
did. I mean, I
the
won't do that,
room. Okay. Okay, that's fair.
it was
Samantha.
bothering me.
I was like, put your fucking phone down.
You sound better.
Thanks.
Sorry.
And then I cough.
What?
Oh my God. I'm still trying to think of the word for the eyebrows. It's really
Don't worry.
bugging me. What are you doing? What are you looking at?
Go on.
Gotta take a break for a second. Get a little sippy sip of the coffee. Also, get off your phone.
I'm sorry, go on. Miss Chrissy.
Okay,
Okay.
I'm gonna say that sentence again because that did not make sense.
You're gonna edit so much of this.
It's gonna be so bad.